Hey guys, I'm Uni, a product designer in tech.
And I'm Juju, a journalist.
Collectively, we're two Kims.
And this is our podcast, Food for Thought.
Welcome to a very special episode of our podcast. If you can't tell, I'm like smiling severely because we're talking about one of my favorite drinks slash foods ever, which is matcha. If you've listened to previous episodes, you know that we go way back. But for anyone who doesn't know what matcha is, it's basically a suspension tea, which means that the powder is suspended within the water. It doesn't actually dissolve in it. And it's small, small particles of the tea leaf itself. So when you're drinking matcha, you're actually consuming the tea leaf. Whereas with other more common teas, maybe you are steeping the leaves to get the flavor out of that.
So let's kick it off with our specials for this episode. So special number one, matcha has a lot of health benefits, but one health slash lifestyle related one is that matcha can actually get rid of bad breath because it has a high amount of chlorophyll, which reduces odor causing bacteria. So instead of mints, maybe you should drink some matcha instead.
Garlic lovers, listen up. AKA me.
Special number two, legends and matcha companies, many of them, say that samurai in Japan would drink it back in the day before battle.
That's intense. Like, this is years and centuries and generations worth of
warriors.
Like, yeah.
Relying on this tea.
I am a modern day warrior and I do like to drink it when I'm before I'm doing something important where I need to be alert.
Yes. Which is another one of matcha's benefits.
Yes. One of the many. Special number three, pardon my pronunciation on these Japanese words, but I will try my best. You've been warned. So special number three, a Buddhist monk named Isai, he was responsible for bringing the Zen Buddhist Rinzai sect to Japan. And he also brought tea seeds with him when he returned. And he also penned the Kisa Yojoki, which is something that proclaims tea's health benefits. So he wrote this and people were introduced to the fact that it was a very healthy food. So that last fact was something that I learned in class at University of Illinois. I took a class there called Chado, which means the way of tea. Cha meaning tea and do meaning the way in Japanese. And this is where my love for matcha started. I think I briefly touched on this in an earlier episode where I enrolled in the class because I thought that I would get free food and free drinks, which, like, as a college kid, nothing sounds better than that, to be honest. And I'd heard just good things about the Japan House, which includes tea rooms, and there's a beautiful, beautiful garden there in the middle of Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. So my first class there, we got these really, like, philosophical books, and it was just a different pace from the traditional classroom, which I appreciated off the bat. And it was such a diverse group of students major wise like, we had engineers in there, we also had some other art majors, and just random people in liberal arts and sciences. So it was just like a really eclectic group. Mm-hmm. And each class we would perform a different style of Japanese tea ceremony. There, mm-hmm. to my knowledge, there are hundreds, and they're dependent on what season it is. Also, the formality of it too, like high tea versus something more casual. And what I learned through that entire semester is that I didn't take this class to, like, drink tea. Like, matcha is much bigger than matcha itself. I sound like a broken record when I say that, but it really is just, like, a way of looking at life, observing yourself, observing the people around you, observing nature, and how you fit into that, and how you can be respectful of that too. And it also has a fair amount of spirituality where mm-hmm. it's not necessarily a religion. I'm like, oh, I practice matcha as if it's a religion.
You practice the way of tea.
Yes, yes. It's more of just like a lifestyle, like mindfulness, like it's tied to Buddhism, like Shintoism, things that go very far back in Japan, and just kind of taking the best things and key principles of just how to live your life mm-hmm. and tying it back to just a tea ceremony and the act of drinking matcha in the most mindful way possible. There's also fun like design things involved with it too. Like we had origami folding lessons. We also did flower arrangements. Japanese aesthetic, as most designers know, it's such a mindful, like minimalist, such beautiful way of designing mm-hmm. and being artful. And I got like a fair dose of that within this class. And I even took some of those principles and tied it back to my senior thesis project, yes. which was just amazing. I signed up for this class and I was like, I want free food and free drinks. By the end, I was just like
a changed woman.
I was like, I sound so dramatic saying that, but it truly, the principles that I learned in that class have permeated through my life and like something I think about every day. So if you're a student at U of I, you should totally sign up. 10 out of 10 would recommend.
A big change in my life as well after uni took this class is I actually went to her graduation tea ceremony at the tea house, and that it's beautiful. Like there's like a huge garden and it's so tranquil and pretty, and we got to walk around it before the tea ceremony, and I like felt kind of nervous because I didn't want to ruin uni's reputation with her peers and her professor, who she spoke so highly of, because at the time I was, and I still am not a tea fan, but now I like matcha because of uni, which I'll get to in a second. But at the time I like was not a fan of tea. I was scared to like go to the ceremony, and I was also worried about like the treat, like the sweet treat that is served at tea ceremonies, because she had told me sometimes it has red beans.
Yes, it's very traditional, like Japanese sweets. It's a small bite. It's not like, here, have a piece of cake. But traditionally in tea ceremonies, they serve you like a small sweet before you drink the tea. And it's all just like a step-by-step process of just like warming you up with something sweet, and then finally drinking the tea, which actually, in my opinion, comes off as more like savory and hearty.
Yes. So I was nervous about the tea and the sweet because I was
two for two.
I mean, for me, the tea, whatever, it'll be gone in like 2 seconds. Like I can do that. But like if I had to chew on something with like red beans.
Red bean. Oh no. Everyone who loves red bean is thinking Juju's psycho right now.
I mean, I'm a picky eater, so I'm aware like I'm weird and people are probably laughing, or as Uni said, think I'm crazy. But I'm just not a fan of red bean. So I was more scared about the sweet, but luckily the sweet was just like a mochi essentially.
I think it was like a small, like a very sophisticated sugar ball. There might have been like a flour aspect in there, but it's literally like something you drop in your mouth and it just dissolves.
It was like rice dough essentially. It like reminded me of mochi, but like the mochi that you can get as toppings on like
ice cream
and yeah. at some places.
Got it.
So I thought it was good. I saw the sweet come out and I was like, thank God.
Bless.
Like I was just like, whoo.
Bless. I don't have to like chew sadly and like try to not taste red beans.
And then it was a big relief because there was a huge crowd around the
yeah
area.
There were spectators watching the ceremony, because my professor was kind of narrating it, but this ceremony was given in honor of graduates of this class.
Yeah, so I was like, whoa, was not anticipating this huge crowd, but luckily the food aspect and the drink aspects were fine. Like at the time I was like, oh, like the tea, I was still not a fan of matcha, but I was like, oh, this is pretty like earthy, and I was like, oh, this is like way better than I expected.
Yeah, I feel like green tea, the reputation I had of it before this class, first of all, I didn't even know green tea and matcha were separate things, which they are. Like matcha is a type of green tea, but as I previously mentioned, it's you're consuming the entire leaf, so it's much more like potent in general.
Yes. And like the thing that I don't like about tea is that when I have tried it, a lot of the times it's felt like very diluted. Like, I don't like it.
Not the real deal.
Yeah. For me in general, for food, like, I like when the flavor is strong.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I like arugula. A lot of people know that I don't like lettuce because, like, it's just watery and, like, the flavor feels like a hint and it's like, like, I don't like it. It, like, almost tastes like the flavor shouldn't be there versus arugula. Like, a lot of people I know don't like it, but I like it because it's bitter and peppery and it's, like, I'm assertive and, like, I am supposed to be here as a flavor. And that's, like, what I appreciated about...
It doesn't beat around the bush. Yeah. Matcha does not beat around the
bush. Yeah, and like... that's what I like. So then, from that point, uni... She began whisking me matcha, like, in the way that she learned to in the tea class. And slowly but surely, she changed me into a matcha drinker. So now I actually...
Brainwashed her.
No, I don't consider it brainwashed. I honestly consider brainwashed as, like, a negative term of, like, when something bad. But, like, she brought the gospel of matcha into my life. And I am a believer of drinking matcha now. Like, whenever uni's, like, especially in the fall and the winter time, whenever she's like, oh, I'm making matcha. Because uni basically, I feel like she drinks matcha in the, like, colder months, probably, I want to say, once a day.
Yes.
So, like, at night. And then so every time she's like, oh, I'm having matcha, would you like some? I am always an eager participant.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Yeah. So not only did that class change uni's life, she opened my mind to matcha. And before, in the past, I wouldn't be into, like, green tea flavored things and, like, matcha flavored things because I had the mindset in my brain that tea was, like, not that great of a flavor. Like, it's watery. It's not that great. But now it's just opened the door to, like, a bunch of other things, like matcha flavored ice cream, things like that, which we will get to later in this episode. But before, I would not even be open to trying it because I was afraid of something that wasn't flavorful. So,
well, I'm glad that you did try it. I honestly can't thank that class enough. So while I have appreciated just, like, that immersive semester I spent learning about Japanese culture, Japanese design and aesthetics, and also matcha, I feel like it's definitely just general knowledge about matcha and adoption of it. Since then, it's been rapidly adopted here, and in some ways, like, not in a good way. We mentioned in our ice cream episode that we kind of put matcha in the same category as, like, ube, for example, the purple potato, and how it's just been taken to this trendy area where it's, like, very few people who probably try these, like, ube or matcha desserts have probably consumed the actual thing. I was talking about ube to a friend who's Filipino, and she was like, have you actually had ube? And I'm like, no, I've only had ube desserts.
Right.
And there was only one that I've tried out of the many that actually got the essence of potato across. Mm-hmm. So curious what your thoughts are on just, like, matcha being this, like, trendy and in some people's eyes exotic food.
I do think that matcha has been appropriated here. As you said, most people are just, like, introduce it in these dessert items.
Yeah.
Kind of. You can see matcha ice cream here, like, matcha everywhere. Ice cream treats everywhere, matcha desserts, especially in New York. I want to say, I feel like every week there's, like, a new one that comes out.
Yeah.
I think some of them are okay. For instance, I recently went to this omakase place with my boyfriend and his parents, and I was watching the chefs. They had very fine technique, and even their technique seemed very respectful, I guess. And one of their dessert items was a green tea creme brulee.
Yum.
And it was very good. The flavor wasn't as saturated as I would like, but I still really appreciated it. And I'm like, I didn't feel like it was being appropriated in that sense, just because the whole dinner was just very respectful and, like, very traditional.
Interesting.
So, like, that was fine to me. And but, like, the complete opposite of that, in my opinion, is, like, if you are not Japanese and you aren't really, like, connected with, like, where matcha came from and aren't knowledgeable about, like, all of the tradition around it and its history and, like, the way it's been prepared, that is kind of, that kind of bugs me. Like, I've discussed, we discussed this a bit in the pizza episode where,
yeah,
like, if you're just out of touch and you're just, like, hopping on the bandwagon for just to, like,
make money.
Yeah, and just, like, oh, like, I see a lot of matcha stuff on Instagram. Like, let's create a product so we can get publicity with, like, because it's green and it looks good in photos and stuff. So, like, there's a few, like, one place that stands out in my mind that bothered me a bit was Cha Cha Matcha in New York. Uni wanted to go there one day because they have...
Because I always have to try every matcha place. I need to vet it myself.
Yes. She is very strict. She's a very strict vetter. She will question the workers at any place about, like, where they get their matcha. She, like, scrutinizes whether they get their matcha from the fridge or if it's just sitting out on the countertop.
I'm that girl.
Yeah. Like, she will grill the people working there before she decides whether or not to order a matcha thing. So we went to this place called Cha Cha Matcha, and it had this swirled ice cream that we saw all over Instagram, and it had matcha and I forgot the
something
other flavor.
Pink
watermelon? No,
either watermelon or like pink lemonade.
Oh, I think it was pink lemonade. So Uni got that. I did not get it. I got a matcha cappuccino, I want to say. And like immediately when we walked in, it already felt like disrespectful to me to Japanese culture, because the whole theme of the shop was like this pink and green.
Yeah, theme. Like very trendy looking decor.
And then like the decor was like tropical, like instead of, I don't know, plants that you would find in Japan that were green, it was like clearly not Japanese plants. It was like what you would find in like
the tropical areas,
like I want to say like in the Caribbean
or like almost. Latin America,
yeah,
maybe?
And like so that was like juxtaposed with some plants that look like that they could be from like an Asian country, but it was just different.
Ambiguous,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, and I was just like, I like saw the not Japanese / Asian plant decor, and I was like, I am getting bad vibes from this place, because if you claim to be all about matcha and matcha is from Japan, like you should be using Japanese culture,
right.
Versus some plants from another continent.
Yeah,
so I was very rubbed the wrong way by that, and just like the swirl with the pink lemonade too. It's just like, I don't think pink lemonade is really like a Japanese ingredient.
Yeah, that's where I feel a little weird in general, because it is a gray area when it comes to appropriating foods. But at the same time, when you mention like the creme brulee, like that is not Japanese.
Right.
But it's like kind of up to whoever is consuming it. Like, can I still appreciate it? Or is this just something that was mashed, a cultural mashup, and it kind of just tastes good, but like I don't have to look at it through the cultural lens. But I did get some, at the very least, like confusing vibes from Cha Cha Matcha. I'd seen it on Instagram. I read a little bit about it. It was started by some NYU grads who did take a trip to Japan,
but it's one trip, so
and I don't question that you could have this experience where you're learning about it and you get swept up by it and so inspired by it, but just from the decor alone, I think there was a better way to approach it, and that there are places out there that are kind of more respectful about making matcha more accessible, but not branding it in this
like trendy
way.
Like
yeah,
way, like, and just ignoring the fact that you just like handpicked a part of like another place's culture and
right.
are just using it to benefit your marketing
because it looks cool
because
hashtag branding.
Yeah, well the decor like really bothered me there, because it's just like it's so blatant on their website. It's like, we took a trip to Japan, so it's like you even went there and there are plenty of green plants, not even matcha plants, like green foliage in Japan,
yeah,
that you could have had decor like out of, and instead
even like Chinese things, because matcha existed in China too. Like
yeah.
if you put bamboo there, it would be slightly
yeah, it would be slightly better. But like I was just so confused when I walked in, and then I was just like, this is just like done to make it look good for Instagram. And then
the sin of many New York bakeries. If
yeah.
it's Instagrammable, we'll do fine.
Yeah. So I was just like, that kind of rub me the wrong way. And I honestly have not been back there since that experience.
It was busy, so that's probably why I also haven't been back there. But
it's always busy. There's like a huge line outside, like every time I walk by. So for me, it was just like, number one, it doesn't seem like they are actually like paying respects to the culture that they picked their main ingredient that's in their name out of. And there's a long line, so will not be going back there. But did you think the ice cream tasted good?
I think, like, detaching all the cultural meaning, it tasted fun and interesting at the very least. But again, like, another thing that I've noticed with a lot of places that try to make matcha more accessible, they tone down. I don't remember if this happened at Cha Cha Matcha, but a lot of places tone down the potency of the matcha. It's yielding like a lighter green and you only taste like a hint of it. Because again, it's like a cool color too. So it's like similar to ube. It's like, ooh, fun colored things just lend themselves to Instagram and more marketing. But there are places out there that I think really do justice to its potency and its strong flavor, and even from a branding standpoint too. Like, one of our favorite dessert places is Patisserie Tomoko, and there's this one thing, I think they're called Daquoise. Probably pronouncing that wrong. It's a French thing.
Yeah, I think so.
And it's like these two, like, really good, it's like a bread slash like cookie almost, sandwich with this thick, dark, like
paste,
like matcha paste. It's super dark. Sometimes I just like eat the paste with a spoon. Like,
Uni told me that she wishes they could sell her like a toothpaste tube and she could just squeeze it and eat it.
That probably sounds so disgusting, but this is who I am and I'm being very real.
But it's like it's like a forest green color. Like, it's a very saturated,
and you get like almost like
army green color,
a spice from it, like when you eat it. So that's one of my favorites. Another place I also appreciate the branding of, it's a little bit closer to just American culture in general, but Matcha Bar, they sell like matcha drinks and matcha treats. Their branding is kind of just a fun, like typical New York, like fun illustration type of place, but it's a little bit refined. And I don't think it's trying to be Japanese, but it's kind of saying, we've learned about this awesome matcha thing and we're kind of going to brand it towards New Yorkers. Not in a way that's like, oh, we'll make it truly our own, but kind of like, hey, here's a little insight into what it is. And we're going to present it to you in a way that's kind of familiar to you and talk about health benefits. Like, if you're a busy New Yorker running around, like what it can do for you in that sense. So, and I think from a price standpoint too, they're pretty reasonable as well.
Another place that we also like, I feel like it is a little bit on the borderline though, is Matcha and More.
We have a story about this.
I will let Uni tell it because she is the main driver.
Well, you can see this evidence if you go to my Instagram,
actually. We can put it on the side dish.
But we heard, per usual, through Instagram, that this place in Chinatown, Matcha and More, does this gold leaf ice cream. And I'm like, ugh, it looks so cool. They do soft serve, and it seemed like there was a variety of flavors there, but since it's called Matcha and More, they obviously had a matcha flavor. So we go there, everyone's trying to like find the best place in the shop to like photograph their ice cream. They have a sign there that says "Love You So Matcha," a neon sign, and I'm like, seems kind of basic, but I would totally put that like above my bed. Anyway, we hustle through the line and then we order soft serve with like a gold leaf
on one side.
Yes, and it's around $10, I think.
And
so,
in the most Instagram pictures, it was with the green tea soft serve.
Yes,
they had vanilla, a swirl of matcha and vanilla, and they had a plain matcha.
Yeah.
So
what happened was, first my sister goes and she goes, oh, I'll have one of the matcha soft serves with a gold leaf. And they're like, sorry, our machine is broken. And then so she looks back at...
I was like, uh-oh, Uni is going to be pissed. Like, what's the point of buying...
A vanilla saucer with
gold leaf on it for
at $10? Matcha and more, yeah, question why? Mark.
So as soon as he said that, I was like, oh, like, I was disappointed. But I was like, Uni is the one that is going to be the one that is most upset. And I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, so they're like, oh, we can give you the vanilla one. They're like, I don't want the vanilla one. But we ended up getting it because we traveled.
Because we had already ordered it too. Like, what were we going to be like? No, we don't want it. Yeah. Just leave.
So we take pictures with them, actually. Well, like, Juju, take a picture of me looking sad.
I, like, was not even thinking about, like, documenting this, like, fail. But I turned around and Uni's like, take a picture with Eric. That's the name of my boyfriend. And he was with us, too. And she's like, Juju, pose with Eric and look upset. And, like, I was like, oh, my God. Like, Uni is already in, like, thinking mode. And so she takes these pictures of Eric and me not looking happy.
And then I asked them to take a picture of me. I typed this caption, and I'm like, I basically hashtagged it matcha no more instead of matcha n more. And then... being a business in 2018, they replied and they're like, we're so sorry. Please come in for a complimentary cone. And so Juju's boyfriend has the nerve to come and goes, how about three? Because, like, there were three of us there. Like, he's like, I want to get in on this too, you know? So they're like, sure, just show the post, like the Instagram post where you basically shat on us. I wasn't, like, severely angry for clearance. Like, it was just more of a customer service-y, like, satirical way of complaining about things. And so we brought back the post and we're like, oh, we get three free ones. And I showed, and they're like, oh, yeah, we remember you. I was like, yikes, I'm being that difficult person. But we got our matcha cones and the flavor was actually very strong. After just what I've seen on Instagram, since it's such a trendy, popular place, I was like, it might be just like this weak version. But I thought the flavor was pretty potent, which is great.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The flavor was great. I mean, I think the gold leaf is a bit gimmicky. I would not buy that again.
But it's just like for funsies, you know?
Yeah. The decor in there is ambiguous green plants versus at Cha Cha Matcha, where it was clearly not a Japanese plant. Like, it was just like at Matcha and More, it's just green leaf. It could honestly be plants from anywhere.
Yeah.
So I do think that, especially with the gold leaf thing, it's just gimmicky. It's definitely going on the borderline of, is this being appropriated? But the flavor is really strong, and I personally like it better than Cha Cha Matcha. So
you have the verdict.
Yes.
What are some of your other favorite matcha places?
I'm kind of a snob, kind of similar to how I was saying in the Galbi episode. I am spoiled because my mom is a good cook, but I am spoiled because Uni has been whisking me matcha in these bowls that are like perfect for matcha consumption.
Yeah.
And so I honestly prefer just like a nicely whisked matcha from Uni served to me at night.
And I'm basically Juju's mom. Basically, I'm younger than her, but I am her caretaker who feeds her matcha.
Yeah, well, she brought me into the way of matcha, the way of tea. She baptized me in with the matcha gospel, and I prefer to take my tea in the way that it was brought to me.
And I have just touched the tip of the iceberg when it comes to learning about tea ceremonies and matcha in general. People get certified as tea masters at the Urasenke school in Japan. And it's literally like a lifelong thing where people can dedicate their life to becoming a tea master and just becoming a master of like the Japanese arts and stuff. So I know just a fraction of the information that exists out there.
Yes, but that is probably more than a lot of people, even who use matcha regularly in their restaurants and stuff. So to me, it's like it's about making the effort to delve into the processes and history and all the details involved, the meaning involved with a food. Like, especially if you are someone who works at a restaurant and uses the ingredient, you should make it your mission to kind of understand all of those things before incorporating it into your food.
So. What's that saying? It's like you must master the rules before you break them or something.
Maybe there is a saying like that.
There is. Maybe it's from a movie or something. But it's like if you're talking about this in a culinary sense, if you're using a food, you have to understand it before you innovate it.
Right.
So with that, please let us know your thoughts about matcha in general, what you think of the matcha establishments in the places that you live. We're very curious to hear about it. Thanks for listening. You can read our side dish on 2-kims.com. You can tweet us at 2_Kims. And you can always find us on Instagram at 2.kims.
Come back for seconds next week.